All right, I'm going to introduce our first speaker, Kevin B. He's going to come up here and share a little bit, man.
Cool. Give me a second. Listen, I'm not good at memorizing literature, so.
I really don't want to just try to guess, so give me a minute real quick. Cool. I'm being recorded? Okay. I'm an addict named Kevin. Hey, man, I am super nervous. Like, I like to talk, but I'm nervous. So if we can't control our addiction, how can we control our lives? And it goes on to talk about most of us realize control is an illusion the moment it is suggested. Hey, for a long time, I was not a part of that most. Like, that did not apply to me. I quit using. I had a job. I was living in a recovery house. Like, I had a car. I paid my rent every week. I was cool, man. Like, I got this figured out. Just don't use dope. What I couldn't figure out, though, this was crazy. In a recovery house, man, they would try to evict me quite regularly because I didn't want to follow the rules. Fighting in the recovery house because it wasn't going my way. Cheating on my girlfriends. Lying to my kids about, you know, doing all this crazy. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed is I wasn't using drugs. Right? Still lying to family. Cheating on the girls, you know, just all that crazy stuff. And I couldn't figure it out. And then at the time, my home group, we were a literature study group. And I had this idea of spiritual principles. I wasn't real good at, like, applying them in my daily life, right? I was still practicing. And we got into step three, and look, I'll never forget this sentence, but step three, page 27, it works out why. It says, the decision that we make by working this step and the relationship that results will revolutionize our existence. Hey, man, so revolutionize is like a fundamental change, right? And when I read that, I was like, God dang, this is crazy. I didn't realize that right after I worked my step three, right, I'm still trying to control things. This is a Friday afternoon. I'm washing my car, and I get a call from my sister, right? It was cool. Like, me and my family were talking, you know what I mean? And so it was nothing unusual for her to call me. I was like, cool, she didn't want to talk to her older brother. My brother, he had hung himself. All right, and this was crazy, guys, because, like, for so long, I had this idea, like, I can do this, right? And for me, life, like, when I feel like I'm in control, like, if I feel like I got a handle on something, life's going to throw me a curveball just to make sure to let me know that you don't know what you're doing. And it was crazy because, like, I'd been around just long enough and been in the same recovery house long enough to, like, build a couple relationships, right? I had a sponsor, and I had a friend of mine in recovery house, right? And when she told me that, I called my buddy in the recovery house, right? And the first thing he said was, call your sponsor. I still get,
come on, buddy.
I still get sad thinking about it sometimes, but he said, call your sponsor. Right, and I did. I called my sponsor, and it was crazy because I told him the phone call I got, and he said, "Hey, where you at?" And he came and got me. I'll never forget this, you guys, like, because, like, I had this idea that, like, I knew what I was doing. It was crazy because in step one, it says, there's a question, this real jazzy question. In step one, it says, hey, if anything ever happens to you that make you want to get high, hey, when I answered, I was like, you're absolutely right, I will. If A, B, or C happens, it's okay to use. If something happened to my kids or my family, it's going to be okay for me to use. And I believed that at the time when I answered it. I fully believed it. Fast forward, like, I come to believe, and I make this decision. I made this decision. When I say, you guys, I worked a step with my sponsor, right? I didn't know that, like, life was going to throw me this curveball. It's like, hey, did you make this decision, like, to really get together? Like, you don't run shit. And it was crazy. I called my sponsor. We went to this out-of-town meeting, and I cried, and I heard this lady that's she was sharing. I don't remember what she said, right? It was new for me. Like, I'd just been out of penitentiary. I was so used to, like, using dope for things like that. And here I was, just like, the thing that I thought I'd have to use over, like, I'm sitting in a meeting with Narcotics Anonymous crying, not using, and I still didn't know what to do, man. And everybody told me, hey, go to meetings and share about it. And that's what I did. I went and shared about it. And while I was in Tulsa, I didn't use, right? Because I was going to meetings, I share about it. People would call me, we'd go out to eat. And it came time for me to go to Washington State for his funeral. Man, I didn't know what I was going to do then. Like, hey, none of my friends are going to be around me. Like, I can for sure at least hit the bar at the very minimum. Like, my dad's got taps in his refrigerator down in his man shed. Like, I can do that. Nobody will know. Hey, man. It was crazy because before I left, my sponsor gave me this assignment. Gave me this assignment to from the time I found out till the time I got back from his funeral. Like, write out my thoughts and feelings. Like, the moment my sister told me my brother hung himself, hey, what were you thinking and feeling then? Like, and he had me do this every day, right? Had me do this every day. And so I get out of state, and it's even better. Hey, the phone line, I don't know if any of y'all are part of the phone line, but look, I used to think that was the most ridiculous thing. I get out of state, and I call this phone line. Hey, man, they put me in contact with somebody. I'm in Washington State in this little town on the Snake River. Somebody picked up the phone, and they had, like, talked to me. Hey, man, because, like, I really wanted to use. Like, I was out of state. Nobody would know. I was sad. I felt betrayed. I was angry. I was alone. Like, because all through my penitentiary stays, like, my brother never quit writing me, man. And that was the one person that believed in me. And I just wanted to use. And I called that phone line, and somebody answered, and they talked to me. Hey, they met me at a meeting in this little town. And so in the mornings I get up and I go down the Snake River and I do my assignment that my sponsor gave me. What was I thinking and feeling from the time I found out to where I'm at today, right? And I call him every day, and he always suggested that, like, hey, man, pray. Hey, pray. Hey, did you meditate after you prayed? Man, and like, to think that, like, at one time, like, I thought I had this figured out, and I thought I was going to be okay, and then to have this just come out of nowhere, and, like, I wasn't okay, I didn't have the answers, but, like, here's what's crazy, is, like, the relationship that I built with my sponsor, that was a higher power working in my life. This literature at that time was a higher power. Like, look, I didn't know what to do from day one to day two, man. But you guys sitting in here, like, guided me. This literature spoke to me a lot, right? I'm holding this rock right now. Because this is what I've come to understand through that experience alone. Like, that was that experience there, like, showed me, like, hey man, I'm not running the thing, man. All I can do is, like, live by these principles. And some of them, like, it's not like I don't live by all the principles every day. It's unrealistic for me to do that, right? But, like, I've learned for me in that experience, right? As long as I can live by a couple of these principles every day, right? As long as I can contact my sponsor once a day, as long as I can read some literature once a day, as long as I can pray, right? Hey, man, I don't have to be in control. I don't have to be in control, man. And the crazy thing is for me is, like, when I'm not in control, hey man, my life is great. let me be in control of some stuff. Hey man, if I'm in control of stuff, like, I'm telling you something. Look, I will cheat, I will lie, and I will use. And I'll use, man. I'm grateful for this opportunity, you guys. I'm sorry I got emotional, but. Hey man, I believe in this program, and I believe in our literature, and I'm really grateful, Brian, you guys gave me this opportunity. I'm grateful not to be in control today. Thank you.
I'm grateful you're wearing those shorts.
Nice shorts.
Good job, Kevin B. All right, I'm going to call up Kevin E.
Come on, Kevin!
Thank you for your service, brother. I love you, man.
My name's Kevin. I'm an addict. Thank you. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity and responsibility to share my experience, strength, and hope on this particular subject. I want to tell the newcomers I'm grateful that you're here. Without you, I can't stay clean, period. On page 21, they gave us an assignment, you know, so I took this seriously. I called people, I read it, you know, again, even though I've read it before and it's highlighted in my book. And it says here, if we can't control our addiction, how can we control our lives? Well, fucking control is an illusion. I have no control. I wouldn't be sitting in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous if I did. I wouldn't have a TDOC number. I wouldn't have shame and guilt. You know, I don't have control. And when I think I have control, that's when I start fucking shit up. And that's the truth. You know, it talks about in the top of this paragraph, it's one of my favorite sentences in the whole book. It says, we're not responsible for our disease, but we are responsible for our recovery. My recovery speaks to me, and my disease speaks to me. Which one do I listen to? If I listen to my disease, and I think I'm in control, I'm really in self-centeredness. I'm full of fear. I'm full of character defects. And I don't have the desire to use drugs today. But man, if I keep going that route, I'm going to end up getting high. Because I had 18 months clean at one time, and, you know, I thought, I'm never getting high again. I got this. And I was higher than a giraffe's ass. I lost everything in 30 seconds as soon as I went out there. You know, I talked to my sponsor and we prayed before I came up here. And you know, trying to control my life has done nothing but cause pain, misery, jail sentences, prison sentences. And I come to Narcotics Anonymous, and they gave me a solution, and it was humility. The definition of humility is thinking less of one's importance. Not thinking less of myself, but thinking less of my importance. Because I think I'm a special motherfucker. Like, I deserve to be signing basic texts and kissing babies and shit. Okay? Do you not know who the fuck I am? But that's my thought process. It took me 31 years to become the best asshole I could be. I was taught to be that way. Seriously. Right? I come to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, like 10 or 11 years ago, and I made a lot of mistakes. I've used, right? I've cheated, I've lied, I stole. I'm never gonna strive for perfection because it's not happening. It says right in our literature, practice these principles in all our affairs. If I just keep my eye on the prize, call my sponsor, go to meetings, right? Make a network, stick with the fellas, stay away from the women, you know, and practice these principles in all my affairs. Anybody that's thoroughly worked this program never has to use again. Never has to use again. It's the only time it says it in our book. It's the truth. You know, if I'm going to meetings every day, if I'm reading literature, I'm talking about my feelings with my sponsor, I'm doing all the things, as you say in Oklahoma. I love that fucking saying. I come here from Tennessee and I hear that everywhere I go. All the things. Shit, you got me saying it. Right? And see, there's just another example of humility. You know, I come here and everything's different in Tennessee. We do things different in Tennessee, Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. They do the meetings different. And I come here, I can't come in a meeting, oh, you can't do it that way. Don't you know you're supposed to do it that way? Because it teaches us open-mindedness. My sponsor teaches me open-mindedness. I got to be open. You know, there's something that I read to the guys that I work with, man. That we do steps and we talk about traditions. And in the introduction, and it works how and why, it says down in that first paragraph, it says, this book is not meant to be an exhaustive study of NA's steps and traditions, nor is it meant to be the final word on any aspect of recovery or NA unity. Right? Rather, it is meant to help you determine your own interpretation of the principles contained in our steps and traditions. Okay? So what works for me not work for you. And if you don't like what I say, that's what you got to fucking sponsor for. Okay? Right? And I don't say that out of pride and ego. I say it to be funny because that's who I am today. And Narcotics Anonymous has given me 8 years clean. When I first came here, look at me. I got a black key tag. Nah, that's not the truth. That's all that character defects. Because I tell you what, if I don't get humble, this world will humble me real quick. When I think I got it, you know, lose that money at the casino or on Stadium Goods or the Nike store.
Come on, boy, share that.
Huh? Got a good woman, cooks for me, cleans, talks to me, tells me her emotions. Huh? How about I go and fuck around on her? What's that going to do? I got in this program because I was tired of being miserable. Right? I didn't come as far as come as far either. But I know that control is an illusion. And how I do that is when I got things going in my head, I'll try to control it for a couple of days. I won't call Frankie. I'll be pissed off. It'll come out sideways on my coworkers. She'll see it. She'll ask me what's wrong. And nothing, honey. Everything's fine. You know? I'll see my sponsor at the meeting. He'll hug me. What's going on? And really, I'm fucking just teared up inside, man. But as soon as I let go of that control, and I humble myself and I tell somebody how I'm feeling and what's going on with me, I instantly feel better. Yeah. My whole life I've been fucking bashing my head against the damn wall and this table. You know, trying to do it my way. And it's been the same thing. Get out of jail, get a job, get a check, get a sack, go to jail, repeat. And I'm like, it's the police's problem. They fucking with me. My mama didn't do this for me. All this shit that's everybody, I'm the victim, victim, victim. And when I take responsibility for my actions and I really look in the mirror and humble myself and think less of my importance, you know, then I can recover by asking for help. And it says it. I looked up a couple of pages in the index for the word control just to see what I could find. And on page 97 of the basic text, I found a paragraph that doesn't use the word control. Wrong book. Page 97. It doesn't use the word control, but it really talks about acceptance and surrender in it. And 97, it says, staying clean is the first step in facing life. When we practice acceptance, our lives are simplified. Letting go of control, accepting that I can't do anything about it. It says it in our prayer we say every time. Every meeting we go to, we hear the serenity prayer. You know, acceptance, surrender. We hear it over and over. As a newcomer, I'm like, if I hear it just for today, one more motherfucking time. Right? But I came with the gift of desperation. I was truly tired of going to prison. I was truly tired of not being a good father. I was truly tired of being broke and so on and so on and so on. You know, like, I don't know you, but I know you. Our stories may not equal the same amount of numbers, but it's the same. Like, I fucked shit up and I thought I knew everything. I had the gift of desperation. So when my sponsor asked me, what are you willing to do? I said, man, I'm willing to do anything. He said, well, you didn't leave no crumbs in the corner of the sack of that dope baggie, did you? I said, hell no. He said, well, don't leave no crumbs in the sack of your recovery. Remember that shit. And my sponsor, before I came here, you know, I love this man. He started losing his mind, and he was on dialysis and wouldn't go. And, you know, he told me in the hospital, he said, bro, at least I'm going to die clean. He said, you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to do whatever it takes to stay clean. You said you were willing, so go do it. And that's what I did. That's why I'm here in Oklahoma. You know, and I got Frankie as a sponsor. And I'm so grateful for that man. He answers the phone for me every time. You know, he doesn't try to control me and tell me what to do. He's the one that told me control is an illusion. I'm not up here with some magical dust. Like I am just a small speck in the world of Narcotics Anonymous. All this shit that I'm talking about, you know, that I used to think, oh, look at what I said. And then I actually read the fucking book and it's in there. You know? Like, this is just all I'm doing is reading the book. I ain't controlling shit. It's not up to me to tell you how to work your recovery, and it's not up to you to tell me how to work my recovery. I fucking want to stay clean. I don't want to go to prison no more. Please help me. 8 years clean, 8 minutes clean, that don't mean a fuck. How many words I can pronounce and all, it don't mean a fuck. What happens is that someone can reach out to me with the loving hands of Narcotics Anonymous and grab me and say, hey man, what's your problem? How can I help? You know? And now that I've been given all this love, you know, it's my duty to give it back. You know? What works for me may work for one person in a room. And that's all that matters. I did a 8-step with Bubba. And, you know, I told him, how about all the poison I put in the communities? How in the fuck do I give back to that? You know, because we would go over every single amends that was on my list. You know, in the 8th and 9th step. And he taught me. It says sponsor, I don't know, about 9,000 times in the book. Call your fucking sponsor. Call your fucking, don't do this without calling your sponsor. And, so I did that, you know, instead of trying to control it and, you know, reading like one sentence out of the first step and then going apologizing to everybody, you know. You know, I did what my sponsor told me to do. I followed directions. You know, I said in the beginning, we're not responsible for our disease. We're responsible for our recovery. You know, and being humble, all the spiritual principles. I can sit here and say all the spiritual principles, but we read them. I think I've highlighted myself like 55 spiritual principles in the book. There's probably more, you know. But, you know, at 7 years clean, I was at a meeting with a bunch of guys at a dinner table, and we were talking about step one, and someone bring up the word abstinence. And I had no clue that that was part of that deal. At 7 years clean. I can sit here and be honest with you about that shit today instead of coming up here like, oh, I know this and that. I don't know shit. You know? I'm just trying not to get high. I'm just trying to be a good father to my kids. I'm trying to marry this one. You know? I'm trying, you know. Yeah, you. Oh, brown skin, chocolate thing. Hey, it's 2023, baby. We can do what we want. Man, I'm so grateful for these rooms, and the most important thing that anyone's ever told me is to be grateful for that moment of silence. Because while I was out there shooting dope and doing whatever the fuck it is we do, you guys, us, was in here praying for me, man. And I'm here, and thank you. Thank you for this life. All I did was show up and say, I'm fucked up. And you guys said, do this. And I did that. Like 80 grit sandpaper, though. You know? I'm so glad that I love myself a little more today. I'm so glad that I'm more honest. I'm so glad I get to do a fourth step and a fifth step with you, Frankie, so I get to be more honest in my life. I get to get better. You know, because the secret of life to me is I just want to die a happy man. All the money and whatever fuck else that... That's just me wanting people to think I'm something that I'm not. I'm successful because I'm in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't dead or in prison forever. You know? Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Another round of applause for both Kevin. All right, so some of y'all may have noticed that when you scan the QR code, it takes us to last year's convention. That's okay. They're trying to update the code. But if you go on the OK Regional website, you can find the actual schedule. Let's circle up.